When?
Do we know what we're talking about here?
When?
Hey, it's good. Okay, go ahead.
When?
I'm not.
Are we going to do this?
When the people that you know don't like you and your treasured friendships in, tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friends.
Now he's getting cocky. Now he's throwing little twists in there.
Little harmony, are you? I played it right. I played it correctly once last time. I'm going off the ranch now.
Solo.
You've been smoking the tree, man. Reference to last week.
Hey, it's good to see you guys.
Good to see you guys. I'm Andy Chanley. Welcome to Your Artificial Friends. Sitting right across from me is Josh Fligger.
Yes, Joshua J. Fligger.
And how do people get a hold of you, Josh?
JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com.
JoshuaJFligger@gmail.com.
We forgot to do that last episode. Can you just cut this off from here and then put it on the last episode?
Yeah. No. Because last episode wasn't long enough.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
Longer than we thought.
How long was it?
It's like an hour.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, we had a special guest.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Larry Morgan's
with us. That's me.
How do people get a hold of you, Larry?
I'm on Twitter at Larry_Morgan or on the Instagram where I am a lot. At the Larry Morgan.
Well, look at you go. Hey. I'm on Instagram, Andy Chanley, AndyChanley, and on Facebook. Is anybody still on Facebook?
I am.
Barely.
DJ Andy Chanley there, and on Twitter, Andy_Chanley. Yeah. By the way, somebody reached out.
It's good you've got three completely different ways to spell it.
Why not?
Yeah. Andy.Chanley_.
You're not helping. somebody tweeted me the other day. Who was that that tweeted me? Let me find it here real quick. They were congratulating us on having 100 episodes.
Right.
It was a Landshark 626 said, Andy_Chanley, congrats on 100 episodes of Your Artificial Friends. I said, thanks. We couldn't do it without listeners. Though we nearly do. anyway, if you find any feedback as we're talking on Your Artificial Friends.
There was one on here I wanted to bring up.
On the Facebook page. If you find it in the course of what we're doing.
Do a little viewer mail in a minute.
By all means, bring it up. But Josh.
Yes.
It's beer episode.
Yes.
Yes.
Episode.
It's hey. A beer. I don't know if you guys. How do you feel about maybe having some Korean beers?
Whoa! Oh yeah,
that sounds great.
It was such a Far East.
It was such a success last time.
Never heard that joke before.
Do I get to choose again?
The bag?
All right, it sounds. Ooh, they're nice and chilly cold. All right, this. Ooh.
Oh,
that's
it's
a
in
lovely
a pretty bottle.
It is.
This, now this looks. Oh, it's imported premium unfiltered beer product of Japan. It says.
Well, that's all right.
A Ginga Kogen beer.
And it's in a blue bottle.
It's lovely. It's a pearlescent blue bottle.
It almost looks festive and holiday-ish in a way.
It really does, because it's like got a couple of reindeer on the front there with stars around them.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottle is, it's a tall-shouldered bottle that's, it's perfectly cylindrical on each side and then has a very narrow neck.
It looks like it should say Ye Olde Tonic on it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Well, if this were like a third its size, it would look like a perfume bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Male,
let's drink it.
So what are we looking at? This is imported from Japan.
Right.
Did you say the catchphrase here?
No, I missed that.
Ginga Kogen beer. Who did that?
Yes, Herb.
No.
Ginga Kogen beer, the plateau of the galaxy.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds pretty good.
It's pretty lofty. Man, it's pretty lofty.
Plateau is just kind of, that's not a good thing, right? You're like, hey, we reached our peak.
But of the galaxy.
The plateau of the galaxy.
That means you're not getting any better.
What? Right?
They're like, hey, we did it. We're good. We're not doing anything better.
Yeah, plateau does sound like we made it as far as we're going to go.
Exactly. We're up here pretty high, so let's not try anymore.
The mediocrity of the universe. All right, who's got a glass?
I do.
We all do.
Pass one around. Pour you some.
How's it smell?
One of my friends was telling me that they really enjoyed. Smells like beer. Smells like skunk. There's a little skunkiness to it. Light skunky.
Oh, there is.
Light skunky.
Oh, you know what? This is unfiltered. I hope it's not one of those weird funky.
You're gonna have all the sediment.
I am. Oh my god, did I mess that up?
Let's see.
Somebody was commenting to me the other day about how they really felt like we brought the beers alive with our
comments.
Our insightful comments about them.
This is a little skunky.
But it's not bad,
it's not great. But
what other beers are a little skunky? Like a Heineken.
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Heineken.
Jinx, you owe me a Heineken.
You owe me a Heineken because I don't like it.
This reminds me of every beer my dad ever cracked open nearby.
Oh, this is nice. This actually reminds me of like a German beer.
I was going to say, what's the Hefeweizen?
Yes. Yeah.
It would be kind of a Belgian.
What's a Japanese fruit that we could put in here?
Lychee.
Is that what? Because, you know, like Hefeweizen, don't you put it like a slice of orange?
Sure. Yeah.
So what's a.
Yeah, this does have cherry. a little citrus, actually.
You could if you wanted to. If that was your thing.
It isn't. So let's just drink.
All right. That ain't bad. What's about
three sips in that, and there's also a banana note to it. Catch that? You catch a little banana?
Oh, I farted. What's the AC on this?
Did you catch that fart? Did you taste that? I couldn't. It tastes like fart. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I get a top note of flatus.
Flatus.
Is it flatus or flatus?
It's flatus.
It doesn't say what the alcohol
named after
content.
Gene Flatus.
Oh, interesting. All right.
There's only two sips for
each
of.
Oh, you know what?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't have an alcohol content on it?
No.
It probably has to, but...
I wonder if this is N.A.
It doesn't...
Oh, that's funny. Let me see.
No, it's not.
Here's the funny part, right? So we rang the beers up, and every time the guy rang one through... He said it comes up, you know, show request ID, and he said one of them didn't. And I said, well, they're all out. I'm like, there's all booze in this, right? And he's like, oh yeah, yeah. And I'm like, good, because I don't want one that doesn't have any booze in it.
Well,
so I wonder if this is.
I wonder if that's why it's the plateau of the galaxy.
But who would make like a beer that tastes this good, an NA beer? That person should be put.
Yeah,
down.
That's a waste. It's a waste of time.
Should be put in prison.
I wanted to start off. With a tribute, and this is something that Josh shared with me. So I'll jump right into this.
What is it?
Josh's old band, Grant Langston.
Come on, baby, get in the car, baby, get in the car, get in the goddamn car. We gotta hit the road. This place is gonna explode. They got half a dozen boys from Fort Benning, some bikers from Alabama, and the prettiest thing in Macon, Georgia, making eyes at the guys in the band. Baby, leave your purse. It don't matter at all. There's gonna be a knockdown, drag out Burt Reynolds movie brawl.
Nice.
They're gonna have a knockdown, drag out Burt Reynolds movie brawl. And I never said a word. Said a word. I don't know what you heard, baby. Where's the car? Leave the purse in the bar. Cause the fizz have started flying.
It's a bass playing.
The beer bottles and bad Chablis. And that old dude in an Elvis t-shirt just threw a punch at me, baby. Hit the deck. I think it's time to crawl. There's gonna be a knockdown drag out Burt Reynolds movie brawl. They're gonna have a knockdown drag out Burt Reynolds. Beers. Now my woman's pulling hair and scratching eyes, and I'm shaking from pain.
Grant's not going to be mad if we're playing the whole thing, is he?
No, I told him.
Tomorrow's gonna hurt. Where'd you park the car? Right. I'm leaving you in this bar. Cause the chairs have started flying. The beer bottles and bad Chablis. And that dude in the LSU t-shirt looks like Terry Bradshaw to me. Baby, today. I think it's time to haul. There's gonna be a knockdown drag out Burt Reynolds movie brawl. They're gonna have a knockdown drag out.
I love it.
For the great Burt Reynolds.
There we
Burt Reynolds, rest in peace. Burt Reynolds passed away.
You know, Ed, you had before... You had mentioned to me a couple times, you know, we should get, you know, some of your old music on here, you know, just once, just play a song. And it was this morning, I was like, you know what, this is a perfect time.
Great time.
Great.
That's good bass playing. Well, that's a good honky-tonk bass.
Thank you. Anybody that listening, that was Grant Langston. I think you can go to grantlangston.com. You can buy all the albums, everything through there. He still plays. They're still around playing. If they just play down at the farmer's market.
Seriously?
So yeah, check him out. Where
does he find the time when he's running a...
he does it.
Harmony.com.
He does it. But yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, check him out.
Why aren't you in the band anymore?
You know, I did it for 10 years. Oh, we already talked about this. Nobody wants to hear his crap. I did it for like 10 years, and it was just... I just had Owen...
Right.
And it was one of those every weekend getting home at 4 a.m. And, you know, I did it until like for like his first 6 or 7 months. And I'm like, do I really want to miss any
right.
of this? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was just like, I felt like I was missing out. I would work all week and right. then I sometimes leave Friday after work and then get home Sunday afternoon. And it's just like,
sure.
You know, yeah. And I was just a little, you know, I was done with it. I wanted to watch my boy grow up.
Nice. Yep. Good. That's great. Good
so,
call.
You know, I don't, and the thing is, I don't really miss it that much because I don't miss the tearing down. And you've heard me bitch about Brown Eyed Girl.
Yeah.
And it's just, you're going to get those. And it's just, you're sober half the time. You're sober and then you got drunk people just clawing at you. You guys sound so good. I play that Burt Reynolds song. I love it so.
You make it so, rock and roll is so attractive,
yeah.
right? It's so
you
got to
put the time in, man. It's the worst.
Burt Reynolds was. I mean, we've talked about it before, but I say it with great affection. I loved Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
The first thing I ever won from a radio station was tickets to see Hooper on WIRE in Indianapolis when I was 8. And I remember calling in, and the guy said, yeah, you're caller 9. Okay, good. What are you supposed to say? I don't know. What am I supposed to say? What's the name of the movie you want to see? Oh, Hooper? That's right, Hooper. Thanks for being so energetic.
Zapped.
So I got tickets to see Hooper, right?
Yeah.
With Jan Michael Vincent?
Yep.
I believe, yeah. And so anyway, I loved him. Smokey and the Bandit, I even wrote, we talked about this, yeah. I wrote with my writing partner a screenplay,
right.
a 90-page comedy called Burt Reynolds Awesome.
Burt Reynolds Awesome.
Yeah. Burt Reynolds Awesome. And it was about a young man who saw Smokey and the Bandit when he was 7, 8 years old. And thought it was a documentary. thought it was a how-to, the I Ching of how to live your life, and lived his entire life, you know, idolizing Burt Reynolds. And you know, he grows up, and there's a time in his life when his mettle is tested. And I mean, I love Burt Reynolds. Yeah. I loved that whole. It was you look back at it with the. Clear light of equity and you know of the sexes and races
right, right.
And so forth. It doesn't look good.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't hold up that great.
Right.
But I same thing for me. And one really distinctive memory for me is that I had this kind of the same type of memory because I saw Smokey and the Bandit when I was a kid. And I have, you know, you guys know I have that weird Rain Man thing where I remember every movie I ever saw, I remember where I saw it and uh-huh. who I was with. It's just a weird thing that sticks in my brain.
Weird.
But I was with a bunch of buddies. We all went together and we saw the Grandview Cinema in Odessa, Texas. And when it was over, it was back in the day where you would just go, let's just stay and watch it again. Right. And we were all like, we had so much fun. And it was a giant crowd. This was a big theater in Odessa. And it was just raucous. I mean, people were just like cheering as like, you know, just it was truck stunts and people were cheering, you know, when the trucks blocked the view of the bandit from the sheriff and he doesn't see it. And it's just like it was the dumbest thing to be cheering. It was just so satisfying. And we sat and stayed through another showing of it. But my memory was that because Bert around that time was the biggest box office
in the world.
Yeah, for he had a period in the late 70s where he was the guy. But he was doing, you know, those kind of mainstream popcorn movies, and he was also doing some really rough, like, you know, like,
Deliverance.
You know, like some really intense stuff. And my dad was, like, totally obsessed with him. And that he was just a movie guy that we shared, and I couldn't see any of that R-rated stuff, but I was seeing the other stuff, and so we both had this like huge affection because he was a Southern guy, and he was a good old boy kind of type in a lot of this stuff, and my dad could associate with that.
Oh God, you remember Gator?
Gator, I was gonna say that was one of them.
Gator McCluskey.
Yeah, my dad saw that. Gator. I couldn't see that.
What? Oh, one of my
let me mention this.
Eventually see it though. Yes,
I did. Yeah.
Okay, good.
My first R-rated movie I ever got to see legally in the theater was, and I have such an affection for it, it is not well regarded, The End. It's a comedy that he actually directed and starred in, and it's a very silly comedy about a guy who is diagnosed with a terminal disease, and so he goes about attempting to kill himself over the course of the movie.
Dom DeLuise
is just ridiculous in it. Sally Field makes an appearance. There's this whole long scene at the beginning with Norman Fell as a psychiatrist.
I've never even heard of this.
It's called The End. It's so dumb.
But it's absurd.
But I mean, is it worth watching or is it one of those?
I have seen it a couple of. I remember liking it very much. That there's some really funny jokes in it. And there's a point at which he tries to take a lot of pills, and he tries to kill himself, and he swallows it with some milk that turns out to be spoiled. So he just throws it all up on a glass table, and he shoots it very... I mean, it's really interesting as director. He made a lot of really interesting choices for the way he framed it, and so you actually see him throw up from below the glass table, and he has a line like, oh my God, it looks like Walt Disney threw up. And it's just like, that's a funny line. It was funnier maybe in the movie.
I'll take your word for it.
But Dom DeLuise is like insane and tries to help him kill himself, and it just always falls through. And then at the end, he has this big revelation about he tries to drown himself, and he realizes he really wants to live.
Dom DeLuise, where did he come from?
I don't know.
Why is he? I mean, I love the guy. I think he's hilarious in those movies, but... Where did he come from?
Yeah.
What is he a chef?
No, he looks exactly like Paul Prudhoe.
I don't know. What is he like an actor then?
Yeah.
Because wasn't he like in the freezer, the Ziploc commercials too?
Yes.
He was, I mean, I think he was more of a Mel Brooks guy at first.
He wasn't a celebrity who became an actor.
He's not like Kitty Carlisle.
No. I always thought he was like somebody, and then they're like, let's put this wacky guy with Burt Reynolds and see how they get together.
He was probably, I'm going to guess he was one of those guys who started out in theater and probably had a stage career and then moved to, you know, Hollywood. And then he ended up becoming as much of a personality and talk show guest as he did an actual actor, because he was a very specific type. You know, it was just always, you know, the larger than life sidekick who was just silly and outrageous. And
like, what did George Gobel ever do besides be a guest on Johnny Carson? Was he vaudeville?
I think he came out of vaudeville and radio. He was huge on the radio and was kind of one of those variety type performers because he would sing and do stuff on the radio. He's a big radio
star. What about
star.
The guy that was always on A Match Game?
Gene Rayburn?
No,
Charles Nelson Reilly.
Yeah, where did he come? What is he? He was he like Broadway? Or
yeah,
something?
He was like a stage actor too, and then ended up in.
Because he was like one of those guys on. Everybody knows who Charles Nelson Reilly. Nobody knows what he does.
Yeah,
he's just always
like
on
Charles Nelson Reilly and Paul Lynde were both of that flamboyant, just theatrical types that.
And became more famous for doing like game shows and talk shows on TV, and became literally like bigger celebrities because of that.
Well, who were some of the other ones on? The Gong Show, like J.P. Morgan.
And then there was the guy with the blonde guy with like that terrible haircut. There was he had like straight hair. It looked like a hair helmet.
Are you talking about? Oh, you're talking about Bruce Vilanch, aren't you? Or
he was always on the Gong Show.
Oh,
His hair looked like a motorcycle.
He was on Laugh-In.
Did he play the
very interesting.
Yeah, Artie Johnson.
Artie Johnson. And
doesn't he have the worst hair ever?
Oh yeah. And he has.
It's a hair helmet.
And who else?
On what?
Oh, there's Kitty Carlisle, Larry Hovis on The Liars Club.
Yeah.
All those people that were just famous for being famous.
Yeah.
Weren't 70s game shows awesome?
Yeah.
Like tic-tac-toe. Remember that? And then Joker!
And a trip.
Japanese imports for Hunter.
No whammies.
I think Burt Reynolds, I have a memory of Burt Reynolds going on Tattletales. Hosted by Burt Convy.
Oh yeah, the $10,000 pyramid when they would have
a
celebrity.
Yeah, it was like $5,000 pyramid.
But Tattletales was one you went on with your significant other.
Yes.
And
Anderson?
Was it Lonnie Anderson or was it earlier than that? It might have been Dinah Shore.
I never heard Burt Reynolds.
They were together?
Yeah, I think so.
Burt Reynolds and Dinah Shore?
I'm going to back you up on it. It's the second time I've heard somebody bring up Dinah Shore and Burt Reynolds.
Yeah.
And wasn't he with Dolly Parton too?
Oh, I don't know. I think they were in a movie together.
Right? Was it the Best Little Whorehouse?
Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
Yeah.
I think they were also a little...
Really?
Oh, had an item there?
Oh, it wasn't about Sally Field.
Sally Field, they were together early on.
All right, so I got an awesome Burt Reynolds story. My uncle had that Trans Am with T-tops and rims and the Firebird on it, right? And went to see Smokey and the Bandit in a drive-in in that car when it first came out, like not knowing exactly what it is.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And he said, when that movie was over, it was like everybody just cleared out of the way and let me just drive right on through, and everybody was cheering, going, yeah. But Burt Reynolds, to me, I just remember... He was just, there was probably a 3 or 4 year period in my life that every summer that was all that was on HBO was Smokey and the Bandit 1, Smokey and the Bandit 2, Cannonball Run 1 and 2, and then Stroker Ace. You know what I mean? It was just like, and I watched and soaked in every single one. It was like, if it's, you know, you just put it on channel 5 was HBO, I'd reach up, put it on channel 5, and it'd be like, okay, Burt Reynolds, just sit down. There you go.
There's a really good, I think it's a really good action film, Sharky's Machine.
Yeah, I've heard of that too.
Yeah.
It's honestly really well done, and it's just a straight ahead kind of cop action thing where he falls in love with the woman he's supposed to. It's kind of like a remake of Laura, that old movie from the 40s, and it's really good, and he's good in it. What we got?
This is... not playing this ironically, I love this. This is Don Williams.
Yeah.
Well, you know I'm not much good at writing letters, so I gave up and decided that I'd call.
We lost him last year too. God gutted me.
No, there's really not.
Gotta wait for the chorus.
To tell you. Things back here, they never change at all. It's cold here for November.
His girlfriend's moved out to California. He's writing her a letter.
I hear the weather's warm out there. Oh, and if you see Burt Reynolds, would you shake his hand for me? And tell old Burt I've seen all his movies. Well, I hope you make the big time. I hope your dreams come true. But if Hollywood don't need you, honey, I still do.
I love him.
Yeah, that's great.
I was watching a retrospective last night, and one of the things, the very first thing they said, I was like, you don't need to say anything more, is they said, Burt Reynolds was the door between the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah.
And they're like, think about just like the disco and everything that was going on there and that type of music. And then all of a sudden there's Burt Reynolds and there's a Smokey and the Bandit. And that changed everything. That brought, you think about like all the music, that big swell of all that 80s country music all happened probably because of the smoke of Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he embodied all that. And it was just,
oh, yeah.
He just changed an era.
If you don't have Burt Reynolds in that brown Trans Am, do you have Jim Rockford in the the tan Camaro? You know, I mean, there was just having that.
Are the Duke boys around? What about BJ and the Bear?
I need a speedy car. That's got to be speedier than that. Paul Williams handing out $100 bills, $1,000 bills, whatever.
And freaking Jerry Reed.
Jerry Reed!
And Eastbound and Down, loaded up and trucking.
God, I love
bought
Jerry
that
Reed.
Fucking soundtrack like the next day.
How about CBs?
Yeah.
would that craze ever have happened if Smokey the Bandit wasn't around?
Yeah.
And what about Smokey the Bandit 3? That's a piece of shit.
is that the one with the elephant, or is that 2?
No, that's 2. Smokey Bandit 3
doesn't even have Bird in it.
No, it's
right?
Jackie Gleason's the one is the bandit in the end.
Oh, Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
Eastbound and Down. This tells the whole story of the movie.
Yeah.
We're
gonna do what
they say can't be done. They say it can't be done.
Great banjo. And a short time to get there.
Watch out, bandit.
And just a freaking catchy, great tune.
And now all you see is just the bandit come around dirt road sideways right towards the camera.
When you see a Trans Am drifting with banjo, with banjo playing,
how can you resist
and
that?
And the best to do is we used to travel down south for vacation every year, and that was back when they actually dirt roads still existed and stuff. You know what I mean? Like they would go down dirt road. You don't see those dirt roads anymore.
I mean, people still got lynched. But they had dirt roads.
I would.
Why am I laughing at that?
Because lynch humor is hilarious.
Well, you got to be careful when asking for the good old days, because you watch a movie like that.
I didn't say good old days. I'm just saying this is back. Like,
I know. I'm not saying you were saying that was good, but I'm saying you watch stuff like this, and we've talked about it before. There are things in there.
Oh, there's some rough
tick turd. You crumb bum.
There's some rough stuff in some of that. But here's the thing that struck me. I was thinking about him the other day because the stuff that's kind of mostly iconic are those huge popular movies that we're already talking about, Smokey and the Bandit. I mean, and at the end of the 70s, he was making some big hits where he was just a tough guy. We talk about Gator, Longest Yard is just so much...
testosterone. It was an Evel Knievel world where jumping Snake River Canyon and running moonshine and all that kind of stuff, it was machismo for days. Yes.
But if you look at the things...
High karate.
If you look at the things that kind of started his movie career and kind of ended it, and with a couple of exceptions in the middle, very first movie that anybody even noticed him in was Deliverance. And he didn't know at that point what direction his career was going to take. Who knew he was going to be the biggest box office guy in the 70s? He's really good and really intense in that. If you watch that movie, Burt Reynolds freaking jumps off the screen. His presence is immediate.
Yeah.
And somewhere in the middle in there, he did this really sweet, lovely, dramatic comedy with Candace Bergen called Starting Over, where he is heartbreaking, and it's such a departure. And then if you think about what he's like in Boogie Nights, and there are moments in that where it's like you're watching Burt Reynolds, but you're seeing something you haven't seen. The guy was good at what he did. He was a real craftsman and a really good actor, and he took that into being one of the most popular, most recognizable people in the world, and managed to sustain that for a freaking long time.
Yeah.
Even when he... relegated himself to TV because that was the only real good job he could get. Evening Shade was on for, several seasons on CBS and was a pretty big hit for him.
Yeah. Well, if you go into like boxofficemojo.com and you look at movie grosses adjusted for inflation, Smokey and the Bandit, I believe, is still in the top 100 movies of all time.
Yeah.
It may even be. Last time I checked was... 10 years ago, and it was like number 60.
Yeah.
And that stuff, for the time, for the movie going public of the day, that was huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And then those movies then were shown on regular TV. Remember when they showed movies of the week on television?
Yeah. Oh,
on regular
it was
television?
A big deal. Because for a lot of us, it would be sometimes the first time we had ever seen some of these movies that were maybe just outside our rating that parents wouldn't let me go to.
Yeah.
So you saw you know, edited for, you know.
Crumbum.
Is there anything worse than the edited version of Smokey and the Bandit? There's nothing worse than Yosemite Sam as Jackie Gleason. Oh, it's just terrible. It's unwatchable. Yeah. Like, when you watch it, just like, you're in shock. Like,
you remember that.
Oh, you're just desecrating. We've watched it with my band one time. We watched it, and we were all just sitting there like, I cannot believe they're ruining this. There's nothing good about the movie if they edit it. Yeah. It's not funny. There's none of those.
Well, especially the dubbing over.
Lines. Yeah.
Hey, do you got any more beer over there?
Yes, let's go. Last one.
Ah, Bert, man.
All right, I'm
glad we did this. Thanks for bringing in that song.
Another Ooh. Fancy bottle.
Yeah.
Look at that.
That's like a frosted.
Prettiest picture.
I met Burt Reynolds.
No.
It was brief, and I don't have a great story about it. I can tell you that he was absolutely gracious and funny, and I am good. I think I've mentioned him before, but I'm good friends with director Peter Siegel.
Uh-huh.
And he, Peter made the Longest Yard remake.
Oh,
and
right.
It was a freaking dream come true that he approached Burt Reynolds and said, can you play the coach role this time?
Right.
And it was like a long shot because he was like, he's not
gonna Adam Sandler?
Adam Sandler in the quarterback role. And Burt said, yeah, I'll do it with the, you know, kind of
you know,
the
you know
cast.
What is also kind of just shocking about like of him passing is it didn't feel like he got old. It felt like he got gray hair. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't feel him. Like, when I found out that he was 82, it was like, holy crap, he was really 82?
Yeah.
He just never felt old to me. He, like, always felt like the Bandit. Even when, you know what I mean? It was just like, I'll always picture him in a red shirt with, like, the white stuff on the shoulders and an awesome brown cowboy hat and sideburns. Just,
you know, if we hadn't, what was the beer that they had to bring across state line?
Bush.
Coors.
No, it was Coors, right?
You can't take Coors across the...
Was it from Florida to Texas, right? Or Texas to Florida?
Yeah, you can't take it across the Mississippi, or it's bootleg.
Yeah. And why didn't you bring Coors?
Come on,
Josh.
Because we're going to the Far East.
Oh,
people.
I know. I know why. Because Coors sucks.
That's right.
Well, Banquet beer is not bad.
You know, I don't drink Coors.
The regular Coors? Coors Light's piss.
Girls Light.
We won't be sponsored by them anytime soon. Yeah. This is Kurosawa. Speaking of great movies?
I don't think so.
That's what it says. It's Kurosawa.
Okay.
Kurosawa? Kurizawa.
It also looks like a holiday beer.
It does.
It looks like cider.
It says the...
Oh, how do you...
I can't read that.
I'll read it.
You're reading Korean?
No, you're going to read it, and it's going to be racially offensive.
No, I won't. I will make sure it's especially not. I'll go out of my way. That's not even a word. Okay, it's just Japanese.
It's all Japanese characters.
So the I don't know, the beer. The Japanese beer.
I thought it was Korean.
Like, I don't know. What's it say?
This is 100%. 100% something. 5.5%.
You know, 100% beer.
It's 100%. Okay, well, good enough for me. Open it.
Crack it open.
It doesn't say a goddamn thing. It's from
Japan. Open it.
Anyway, it's a premium dark.
Yeah. Let's toast the bird.
Crazy beer.
Let's drink it like Mr. Miyagi. Remember when he got all hammered on his anniversary?
Yeah, anniversary of his wife.
Hold on, I finished this crappy beer.
God. Oh, jeez, dude.
Ugh.
That got warm.
No, actually, it wasn't that bad.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Lovely. It is a dark beer. Gotta wait for Andy.
All right. We know nothing about this. All right. Bottoms up.
Okay.
Oh.
That's nice.
I like it.
It's all right.
Yeah, it's a little smoky, like you expect a dark. That's the thing about
it's got that weird American beer aftertaste to it.
Yeah,
I mean?
It does.
Like the, what do you call it?
Taking a picture? Yeah. Nice. I don't know what the word.
Just stop podcast. Everybody be quiet when you take a picture.
I don't know what the word dark exactly means. It's not very descriptive. You know, like if I see porter, I know what that is.
Right.
You know, you see, but dark just means, you know, it's actually, you know what this tastes like to me? Kind of like a Negro Modelo.
This tastes like a really good Budweiser, like a Budweiser that's drinkable.
It's like a Negro Modelo or a Beck's Dark, one of those. But it's nice. It's nice. So yeah, I miss him, and there are increasingly going to be more and more people like this that, you know, we haven't even thought of in a long time that, are going away. But, yeah, I think there was a time when he was a, I don't want to say punchline, but yeah, I mean, you know, like a.
You think so?
No, I just mean like
well, a. I think what happened is he.
Stereotype.
Yes, because oh, I think
the,
he was.
The macho guy,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think he survived it magnificently and aged through it wonderfully and evolved. If he would have stayed back in the 70s and that's all he had ever done, but then he did Boogie Nights. He did, you know, four camera.
Sitcom,
yeah. You know, Evening Shade. He did all of these different things and was, you know, never afraid. It always seemed like he did it because, hey, that might be fun. You know, it wasn't like I'm going to keep doing comedies and whatever. It's like, oh, I've never done that before. Let's try that. It just, and, you know, Deliverance and this, all of these different turns he took. I really admire him because he wasn't afraid to reinvent himself and to try new things.
I kind of want to check out, he did a movie, I think it came out a year ago, that feels like his swan song, although he shot things since then, but he made something called The Last Movie Star, which is kind of an ironic title,
yeah.
About a fading, like, cinema idol. Who,
like a Sunset Boulevard kind of?
That's what
Gloria
it, well,
Swanson?
No, just, no, just kind of
reverse?
An aging, you know, well-known, you know, it came out last year. The Last Movie Star, an aging screen icon, gets lured into accepting an award at a rinky-dink film festival in Nashville, Tennessee. A hilarious fish-out-of-water adventure and an unexpectedly poignant journey into his past. It doesn't have the best ratings in the world, but it sounds like the kind of thing that would probably be really poignant to watch.
Hmm.
And I am going to... I wonder what other things were... I'm looking at his filmography because there are things we're missing, and I know... You know, he also did a lot of TV. Started out like in Gunsmoke for years.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what when I was pulling up the
Burt Reynolds
Barroom Brawl
movie brawl.
Yeah, movie brawl. I pulled up the Gunsmoke episode where he gets in a brawl.
Yeah,
which is fantastic.
His second big movie after Deliverance was like a short scene. Where he's the sperm switchboard operator in Everything You Always Want to Know About Sex with the Woody Allen movie.
Really?
Yeah, he's up in the brain directing the sperm where to go. It's really funny.
By the way, Norm MacDonald's Burt Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
I would have loved to have known what Burt Reynolds thought about it because
yeah.
It was pretty great.
Turd Ferguson. Turd Ferguson, anybody?
Me and my wife use that name yeah. religiously. We call each other Turd Ferguson yeah. on a yeah. daily yeah. basis.
It's not my name. Yeah, it's my name, Turd Ferguson. Yeah, it's funny.
Oh my God, he was so great. Well, that's what, you know, the screenplay that I wrote. It's like, I knew that, you know, Burt Reynolds would never play a role in it, you know, but just to have him play like his father or something like
right,
that.
Right.
And somebody was like, yeah, but this is dependent on you getting Burt Reynolds to be... I'm like, no, because you could have Norm MacDonald be... all you need is the mustache, and you've got that
right,
you know,
right,
that ethos, or pathos, whatever.
Good stuff. Oh, yeah, he made... let's see what else he did. Besides the ones we talked about, there was Semi-Tough, which...
Right. Did you mention Cannonball Run?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He smacked Dom DeLuise so hard in the chest. I would laugh. I mean, he would just beat the shit out of him in those bloopers. And,
oh, yeah.
And Dom DeLuise, he'd be like, crying. He'd be like,
don't
gagging.
Hit me again. Don't hit me.
If you watch it, if you go back and watch this, you start to feel bad by the end of it. You're like, he's beating the shit out of him.
It's like, put your hands down.
He goes, no.
He
slaps him in the face.
I'll hit you harder.
He's like, put it down. He puts him down. He's like, whap, right across the face. And everybody's like, ha ha, look, he's beating up the fat guy.
Well, and you have to realize how much newer shows like Eastbound and Down, like we were talking about, you know, with what's his ass? Can't think of his name. Anyway, but Will Ferrell, you know, and those kinds of scenes wouldn't be possible if it weren't for Burt Reynolds and the
I'm going to tell everybody something right now. If you're a fan of Eastbound and Down, go to YouTube.
Danny McBride.
Yeah, Danny McBride. I forget. It's
the outtakes.
No. He did a commercial for... He did these commercial series for, it's like either Adidas, it's one of the sporting wear, it's not Nike, but it's, I forget what it is, but he did, shit, I wish I remember. But anyway, he did a campaign of commercials for him, and they actually did some of them that are like 6 minute long commercials, and he's full on Eastbound Down. Like he does this interview and he stands up and he's got this stuffed lion right beside him. As he stands up, he's like, "What's up, lion?" And he gives him a knuckle bump and he goes, "I fucking killed you." And then walks off. He does a whole thing with all these actual athletes. You should look it up. What's his character?
Danny McBride.
Yeah, no, but
Eastbound and Down? Yeah. I don't remember. I don't remember.
That's a great show. I love that show. You don't like that show?
Yeah, I did. I didn't see all the episodes. Oh, I love the outtakes with just look up my plums. The scene between Danny McBride and Will Ferrell where they're trying to keep a straight face. It's pretty great. Let the boy watch. It's the only way he's going to learn. So good. Was there anything else that we needed to cover before we wrap things up? Anything on the website?
I had to create a new password and I was like, I'm not doing it.
Oh, should I give it a try real quick?
Well, sure.
All right.
Over the Labor Day weekend, did you do anything special, Josh?
You know what? I had Katie,
Thompson
came over.
Came over?
Yeah, nice. Came over and hung out. And she hung out for the afternoon. We had a pizza party. And then I told Owen it was time to take a bath, and he asked if Katie could take a bath with him.
And how did that go?
I said, about 16 years. I do remember one thing from Facebook. Somebody, do you remember, it was a couple episodes ago, Larry was... he had a complaint about BMW drivers,
yeah.
Right? And somebody said, you know, it's not only BMW drivers that are assholes, it's every Prius driver that I've ever seen is an asshole.
Yeah, they went off on Priuses. Yeah.
So on that note, Andy, what kind of car do you drive?
A BMW Prius? No. The Prius, you ready for this?
Yeah.
The Prius is Laura's.
Oh no! I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Laura. Put down. Stop watching Scooby Doo. I apologize.
Oh, she is never gonna let us come back here again.
No, we're done.
We're on her last nerve.
And that's it for episode 102. The final.
That's
podcast.
Fantastic. Larry, did you have anything happening over the Labor Day?
I actually had. It's a long story, but I spent much of the
Labor... moving on.
Okay.
Then.
We had our neighbor up in Cambria who started calling around all over the neighborhood, telling people she was dying and just wanted them to know.
And is she dying?
She's elderly and she has gone through some cancer scares, but she was convinced that she was on her way out. And she just wanted to be at home, and she just wanted to have her friends come over and apparently watch her die. And
maybe this is her way of like doing a yard sale. Just like, hey, I'm dying. You want to come over and snag some shit?
No, but dude, she had like called Spectrum to cancel her cable. Mm. She was giving stuff away. She was having a notary come over.
No.
Here's the thing. She wasn't dying. She clearly wasn't. I mean, I started to be really kind of a jerk to her because she wouldn't go to the hospital. And as a human being, and you see somebody who might be in pain or hurting, mm-hmm. it's kind of your obligation to
do something.
Make sure that they're not harming themselves. And
right.
She wanted, why isn't anybody respecting my wishes? I want to stay here, and this is where I want to just pass on. And I'm going, no, we're going to get you to the hospital and they're going to decide if it's your time or not. Turns out she had messed with her own medication, had kind of gone cold turkey on something.
I see.
And she literally had convinced herself.
Turns out she ate some bad fish.
Yeah. So
it's not that she was mentally incapacitated. She fiddled
with her. She had a horrible reaction to something and convinced herself that her time had come.
I see.
And I'm over there being my usual smartass because I know she's not dying. I'm going, well, can you let us know what time?
You're like, prove it.
Yeah. I mean, I started to be that much of a jerk. I apologized to her. She apologized to me. She's still alive, much alive right now.
Everybody
feeling
comes
better.
Out a winner.
Yeah, exactly. So that was about half of my Labor Day weekend.
You could have used that if she had anything nice in the end. Antiques or something.
Stop yeah. it. Can walk Stop in, it. Like, eh,
Martha, if you're going to go, then that curio over there, I mean, are you tight with it? Or
what are you doing all these ceramic trolls?
What happens to the Hummel figurines, Mildred?
Yeah, exactly. What's the deal with the yard globe? You going to keep that? Why were those a thing?
The
yard globe.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Why were those a thing?
I don't know. But I'd like to have one now.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
Nice green
well,
one.
I can no. snag. I can snag you one. Which,
yeah.
Yeah.
When you go back up.
Yeah.
I can make you one.
Wouldn't that be cool?
A yard
those
globe.
Were great.
What do they do?
They just kind of reflect the light.
Yeah, but it's like. It's
you
just,
can't look at it because the sun's shining at
and
it.
And it's like this weird futuristic monolithic thing sitting in your front yard like, because they're mirror reflected. You're like, it's my front yard. Why the hell do I need a silver globe?
No one's ever going to sneak up on you.
Why?
In your front yard if you have one of those.
So it's you'll be able to so see it's a
you got a fence.
It's a low rent security system for
yeah,
your yard.
Basically.
All right. God, we have gone off the rails.
If you see a yard globe, Amaya, you can have it. Just come grab it.
Right. And what if they still make those?
I don't know. Should we look? Should we get a...
Yeah,
see I know. I know you're getting for Christmas. Sorry again, Laura. Here's your yard globe. Enjoy.
That could be nice.
No, it can't.
That could be nice. By the way, my neighbor. You know, they've been building a
right,
new house
right,
back
right.
behind here. With, I'm sure, all the permits.
Maybe
and then
yes.
They decide to put up a fence on top of my fucking wall.
Yeah,
on top of your wall.
Yeah, there's like a foot and a half, 2 foot fence that they put up on top of.
Did they
the,
do it right or is it,
no? Oh, they didn't do it right.
They added it to the top of.
Yeah,
your,
oh. They didn't ask me. They didn't ask me what I. And that's
Let's go
the
knock
rule.
It down.
Well, number one, I think it's on my property. Like it's all complete. Like the wall is. I think it's completely on my property. So A, you built shit on my property. But B. The rule is you have to ask, you have to agree on what you build on the property line, right? Mm-hmm. You can build a fence, but you got to get me to say, okay, I'm cool with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
They just fucking put it up. And I asked the woman about it, and she's like, yeah, I'm not taking it down. I'm like, well, that's not the right answer. The right answer is we're going to come to an agreement on it like you should have before you did anything. You're being a bad neighbor.
She said that to you?
Yeah. I'm like, well, you know what? I've had a year and a half of your... circular saws and you're hammering and you're sandblasting the side of your house and I've had to wash my car every week for the last year and a half. You know, I'm not being a bad neighbor. I'm just telling you that this fence that your fence guy said he put up for free is not something I like. It's a big plastic nasty piece of shit.
Can we knock it down?
yeah. We can go take care
just,
of that right
you
now.
You just give the word, buddy.
I was like,
give,
come
I'll
on.
Tell you what, you go get me a couple more beers.
Yeah. I'm so easy to get along with.
I'm just tipsy enough to do it right now.
I was gonna
now.
Say we go hey, I know you got some tequila in there. That's perfect fence yeah. knocking material.
Yeah.
Let's get that. Isn't Laura going away?
I got a torch.
Hey,
plastic.
We got some. Do you have a chainsaw?
It'll just be a puddle of white plastic after I'm done. Anyway, I probably shouldn't say that on the recording.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, because they're checking out. Well, yeah.
So they just. So
I'm
just,
sure they're listening.
It's just like tacky looking, or did they
yeah,
do it right?
It's tacky, and it does, like it's at a different angle than
oh,
my fence, and
that
it's like,
nuts.
What are you doing? What are you doing to me?
Does it make that shed look better though?
Shut up, Larry.
You need to build like a 3-story shed.
Oh, yeah.
That just you can look out right over their property and just go and just every night just
I'm gonna
drink
build,
beers and stare down at their house.
I'm going to build a wall of yard globes on top of that. We'll see who wins. Challenge me, will you?
When the people that you know don't like you,
like your neighbor,
and you treasure friendships and tune into this podcast. We're your artificial friend.
I'm going to see a fence. Let's go.
Okay. All right. Get the sledgehammer.
Oh, no.
Get the sledgehammer.
Oh, no. It's an incident.